All aboard is getting aboard.
Hare Krishna. Om Gyanata Marandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara.
So,
this is the first formal presentation in our weekend exploring the six symptoms of surrender, which is an essential part of devotional life. And as we have heard this morning and also last night, there's a verse describing these six symptoms that are quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we can chant this verse together. Anukulyasya sankalpa Pratikulyasya varjanam Rakshishyatiti vishvaso Goptritve vadanantata Atmanikshepa karpanye Shadvidhashananagatihi. Now, I did some research. This is attributed to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, but the Hari Bhakti Vilas is also quoting from the Vayu Purana. And it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as we heard this morning, that verse which is part of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Translation again, the six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give all protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender and humility. So this morning we'll be exploring the first two, acceptance of the favorable and rejection of the unfavorable. So the Sanskrit is anukulyasya sankalpa, accepting what is favorable for the devotional service. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a song book called Sharanagati, in which he gives us so much enlightenment on these six elements. And so for this accepting the favorable, I'm just going to read the English. When we get to Atmanikshepa, or full surrender, Atmanivedana, this song, Manasa Deha Geha, which some of you may know, a famous song Prabhupada would sing, it's in the songbook. We'll sing that together. That'll be near the end. So I'm going to read this translation, you can read along, and he begins his song with these Bengali words. Tua bhakti anukula JJ kaya hoy, padama jatane taha koribo nischoy. My dear Lord Krishna, I will surely execute with utmost care those activities favorable to your pure devotional service. I will feel fondness for those things in this world which are conducive to pure devotion, and with my senses I will engage them in your service. I will carefully listen to all discussions concerning you, and the satisfaction of my eyes will be to behold your divine abode. I will nourish my body with the sacred remnants of your food, and I will smell the sweet scent of tulsi leaves adorning those offerings, or tulsi manjaris as it were. With my hands I will always execute your service, and I will forever dwell at that place where you abide. I will employ my desires in your devotional service, and will show my anger to those who are envious of you. In this way, may all of my propensities and emotions earn spiritual potency by being favorably dovetailed in your interest. Anything I do which gives pleasure to your devotee, I will embrace as conducive to your devotional service. Bhaktivinoda knows neither religion nor irreligion. He simply prays that all his activities be favorable for pure devotion unto you. Now, does anyone recognize there's a kind of a hint here of a great king in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Who? Amarish. You notice? He's going through the active senses, and the knowledge acquiring senses, the desires. This is part of this famous verse, description of Ambarish Maharaj. That first he places his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, then he engages his hands in serving like that. So this is part of what surrender means, is to take those functions of our senses, which we're using now to stay more entangled in the material world, in relation to these things, no reference to Krishna, and actually engage them in Krishna's service. That's what full surrender means. So let's explore this a little more. But you see how Bhaktivinoda, condenses, crystallizes the mood of surrender. And you notice how he says, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. So he's teaching us. We may not be doing it now, but if we have this sankalpa, and we'll explore the meaning of that word sankalpa. Sankalpa means, sorry about that. Oh boy, I didn't want to do that. I'm still learning this machine. Okay, let's go back. Back. Okay. Sankalpa means a definite intention or determination or decision. That's why Krishna is known as Satya Sankalpa. Means whatever he wills to do, that will happen. You see? So, the word, the anukulyasya sankalpa, one of the meanings is to have the determination to accept things favorable for Krishna. Now this is a little statement that I made. Every devotee has accepted many things favorable for the Lord's service and rejected many unfavorable things. But to accept whatever is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable is the platform of pure devotion. It takes great determination to move steadily along that path toward full surrender. Therefore, in his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us his essential instructions on what is favorable for devotional service. So we understand this distinction. In other words, just to come to this temple, just as someone who's curious for the first time, this is extremely favorable for devotional service, obviously, right? Or someone meets a devotee on the street and he takes a book, or he just takes an invitation, or anything that's in relation to Krishna that way that's favorable. This is the beginning of surrender, the first hints of surrender. But then if one comes in touch with the devotional practices and he reads, he says, oh, okay, there's so many other things. Normally the most favorable thing that one starts out doing, before anything else, chanting Hare Krishna. To come in and actually participate in the kirtan, how many millions of births does one actually undergo before you have the good fortune to do that? It seems like, okay, let's try out the Hare Krishna temple. I heard it's nice yoga there, or some nice food, you know. You don't know what's going on. But you come in, and then you're in the sangha, and you experience the devotees, and you experience the deities, and the holy name, and especially the first time, the prasadam. And all of that is favorable. And one of the things that's so favorable about it is that you're not doing anything else at that time. You're not doing any nonsense, so it's coming. But then you learn there were so many other things, right? And that one needs to do, to actually chant seriously, to read the books regularly, and so forth. So that's why we have this idea of moving along the path of surrender. It's not just an act, it's a process. So I picked out this famous section from the Upadeshamrita. These are six things that are favorable for devotional service. Some of you may know the verse, Utsaham nishtayat bharayat tat tat karma pavartanat sangatyagat sato vritti shadvi bhakti prasidyati. Now you notice that the hard division between accepting the unfavorable and giving up the unfavorable is not so perfect. Within this list of favorable things is giving up the association of non-devotees, right? So you could also categorize that in the second one, right? Because that's also a positive act. Is understanding what's favorable and what's unfavorable, and then consciously accepting the favorable and consciously rejecting the unfavorable. So so these things are all favorable. And if one is, so we can see, how do we be enthusiastic? Now you say, well, that's an emotion. I can't, you know, artificially be enthusiastic, right? But this is a very nice analogy. I just I read this in Yamuna's book. There's some mention there of Vishnujan Swami, because she was in L.A. at a certain point when he was starting the kirtan of San Francisco. So he's legendary for his, you know, going out for hours and hours and dancing and chanting and playing the drum with incredible energy, stamina. And he always, his enthusiasm inspired so many other devotees. So one time one devotee asked him, well, how do you stay so enthusiastic? Maharaj, I don't know if it was a Maharaj then. And he said, well, sometimes I'm not enthusiastic, but I act that way, and soon the enthusiasm comes. You see? So it's like that. You're in a kirtan, right? And your mind is elsewhere, and you're just standing there, right? And someone may pull you into the circle. Now you dance. Okay, I dance. I mean, you dance, and suddenly you find yourself, oh, you become ecstatic, right? You want to dance. So this is how Krishna consciousness works. And the most important way it works is in our chanting of the holy name, because we have a structure. It's very famously, Lord Chaitanya insisted that his followers count how much japa they're doing. Not just that I'm chanting for so many hours. I chanted today rounds to count. Why count? Isn't that artificial? You know, isn't it supposed to just come from the heart? But the idea is that It gives you a structure, so that you're chanting the holy name, and one of those times when we're chanting, it may come today, tomorrow, or next lifetime, we're actually going to hear that holy name. We're actually going to be completely absorbed in the nectarian sound of that Hare Krishna mantra. And along the way, we may be maybe a little bit more focused, because we got up early that morning or whatever. And we'll get a little taste, a little inkling for what, you know, the beauty and the power of the holy name. So this is why enthusiasm is so important. Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Now, in the matters of what, and that's our next slide, one must be enthusiastic, determined, and patient in the matter of performing the regular practices of bhakti. And what are they? And I mentioned some. You know, the first nine. In other words, you're not just enthusiastic in a vacuum. You're enthusiastic in relation to a certain activity that you're performing. Right? If someone is very, you know, on this material side, there's all kinds of enthusiasm. People are very enthusiastic about, you know, enjoying their senses. Right? We know that that's self-defeating. That's very harmful. But they're enthusiastic about it. And then the very same thing that they did today will be boring tomorrow, right? In other words, our desires are constantly evolving on the material plane, and we want them to evolve on the spiritual plane into the reality, which is the ultimate desire, which doesn't change, and that is to render loving devotional service to Krishna. So on the material plane, this idea of enthusiasm, patience, and determination is going on all the time. In other words, you're on a path. Suppose someone goes to college, right, and he has an idea. I want to be a civil engineer, right? So there's certain courses you have to take. You have to pay tuition. You have to put in the time, so much work. So all the way on that path, you have to maintain your enthusiasm for the goal, right? Okay, it's what I want to do. I like doing it, and I'll make a good living and like that. So that's the goal. And all along the way, there are things that are not, you know, intrinsically interesting or maybe very difficult. But you maintain your determination and enthusiasm and patience, knowing that at the end is this, you know, golden pot at the end of the rainbow, whatever you may call it, right? So that's on the material side. It happens all the time. The problem on the spiritual side is that, as Maharaj mentioned this morning, that our feeling for the goal may wax and wane. If we're covered by the modes of nature, you know, our interest in Krishna consciousness may be in the background. We're enjoying that. We're taking a break, right? So what happened to your determination? Your determination and enthusiasm, they're also on the wane. So this is why Rupa Goswami is telling us these things. Now he also has, which we'll explore in the next section, those things which you want to avoid. And in Krishna consciousness, when you avoid those things, then you can more easily cultivate the positive. But it begins with the positive. This was Prabhupada's genius, you know. And actually, he's just following Lord Chaitanya. He came to America, and it was a blank slate. Nobody knew anything about Krishna, really. You know, certainly the people he was introducing it to didn't know. So what did he give them? Did he give them, you know, the 64 processes of devotional service right away? He didn't even give them the four regulative principles right away. He just said, come to the center, here, and chant Hare Krishna. Mostly it was the chanting Hare Krishna. That was what cultivated the field of the hearts of his listeners. And many, many came and left and didn't come back. It's not that everybody, as soon as they saw it, came. But there were a certain number who were receptive and were ready to chant and hear Prabhupada. This explained Bhagavad Gita mostly at that point. And so their hearts were purified enough that they became interested to come back and cultivate the process. So that's universal. Meaning that when we begin Krishna consciousness, we may not know anything about anything. But if we start the process and accept some of the things favorable, beginning with the chanting, then everything can open up from that. But along the way, we have to be careful to maintain our enthusiasm and our focus and to avoid those things that can eclipse our, you know, heart. It's like Lord Chaitanya talks about uprooting the weeds of offenses. So the main one to avoid, and we'll talk about these later, is offenses to devotees. You know, just as on one side, service to devotees is the most pleasing thing to Krishna, even more than service to himself. So offending devotees, he becomes very upset with you. And what happens? He withdraws the taste. The interest isn't there anymore. The most precious thing we have is our desire to chant Hare Krishna. Whatever little relish we have in the kirtan and any other process of devotional service, that is the most treasure we have, the greatest treasure. And Krishna consciousness progress means increasing that attachment for things related to Krishna, service to Krishna, service to his devotees, you know, helping to others to come to Krishna consciousness. So don't damage that by offenses. So these six things, accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Now, as I mentioned here, so here's nine basic processes. We'll just review them really quickly. In which we need to be enthusiastic, determined, and patient. Hearing about Krishna. Now, practically speaking, this means, if we can, coming to class regularly. But at least, if you're serious, reading Srila Prabhupada's books every day. And if possible, I highly recommend this, to cultivate the ability to hear Prabhupada's lectures. There's something that's there, you know, in the Shastra, about the very voice of a pure devotee. You know, there's a verse, maybe, I don't know how many of you have read this passage in the fourth canto, but describing how the spiritual master, the pure devotee, when he speaks, his voice carries the saffron mercy particles from the lotus feet of Krishna. You ever hear that before? How many have read that, Beth? A few. The very important point is that just, you know, there's a verse describing how one should not hear Harinam or any other Krishna Gita, which is innately purifying. One should not hear it from the lips of non-devotees. Because to ordinary ears, it sounds the same. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? But it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. You've ever heard that before? Now, why use that analogy? Because you can't tell the difference. It looks, it's still white, you know. The taste may be the same, but it has this poisonous effect. Similarly, we can't tell in our state the benefit of hearing the actual voice of the pure devotee describing Krishna, describing the philosophy. I don't know if you know this, but the original tapes of the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada dictating Krishna Leela, there we have those. Most of the tapes are gone. Because Prabhupada would recycle them. He was so frugal. Every penny he would keep. You ever see his diary? 10 cents spent today on the subway in the early days. So frugal. We should take that example, not to waste a penny of Krishna's money. So therefore, the tapes, the way Prabhupada wrote his books, he would mostly dictate the tapes, send them to Boston or wherever they're doing the typing, and then they would send the tapes back and he would record over the same tape. So we didn't have the tapes. But Mother Jadurani, bless her heart, she was one of the first artists. She's sitting in Boston, and she's, of course, meditating on these pastimes and painting. So she had almost all of them, copied so that she could listen to them while she's painting. You see? And we have those tapes. So you can actually hear Prabhupada, relating Krishna's Leela. So I encourage you, it's not difficult to get. If you have trouble, just give me a flash drive. I'll give you all Prabhupada's lectures and everything. You can get it online if you really want it. And it really adds something to the dimension of your Krishna consciousness. But at least, it's the most important thing, to read Prabhupada's books every day. There, we just heard, was it here? No, I don't think it was some, that Prabhupada said, once you read a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita every day. Some of those chapters are pretty big, I don't know. So, and he's, then after 18 days, you'll go through the whole book, and then you do it 3 or 4 times, and you'll be qualified to preach anywhere. So he had this idea, he wanted us to really be absorbed. So this is hearing about Krishna. And then when you hear, you chant. Now the perfect, ideal, concentrated, essential form of this, of course, is kirtan. You hear the holy name and you repeat it. You hear and you repeat it. Sometimes we forget that, the most important aspect is hearing. Not to have the mind thinking about this or anything else. To actually hear the sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To hear that, it has a potency that, is infinite. So hearing, chanting, and by hearing and chanting, we come to the point of remembering. Right? This is why I like to encourage devotees. We have such a wealth of vibrations about Krishna. And I like to encourage devotees, if you have the facility, to memorize some of these verses. Like, I'll give you one of the verses I recently memorized. Let's put it this way. I came across it again after many, many years and rememorized it. So this is Rupa Goswami. And we're supposed to be Rupa Anugas, right? So it says in the Goswami Ashtaka, the 8 verses about the Goswamis. It says, what is that? Yes. No, it says, oh yeah. Shri Gauranga Gunana Vana Davadho Shadhasa Midhyan Vito Papo Tapana Krintano Tanubhatam Govinda Gana Amritai. So, first line says that they're very expert at describing the glories of Gauranga. The qualities. Shri Gauranga Gunana Vana. And the second line says, Papo Tapana Krintano Tanubhatam Govinda Gana Amritai. So, Papo Tapana Krintanam means those who are suffering the severe miseries in this world, threefold miseries, due to sinful activity. Papa utapan the kuntanam, tanubhutai. And it's a very instructive phrase, this tanubhutai. It means those who are bearing the burden of a material body. That's us. The soul doesn't need this body. It's a kind of a prison cell. You know what I'm saying? It's a great restriction on the glories of the soul, but all of us here, we're bearing that burden. Right? So they're cutting them off, Nikrintanai, by pouring down, showering nectar of Govinda Gana, songs about Govinda. So this is what the Goswamis did. By immersing ourselves in Krishna Katha, beginning with Hare Krishna Mantra, the sufferings of this material world diminish and diminish and diminish. Until you find the great devotees, they're not feeling any suffering. The body may be doing what it's doing, but they're aware of it, but it's not, they're not feeling it like ordinary people, like materialists. So what does Rupa Goswami say? Just one drop. He says, Purushottamasya padito gokula chandita amati nakutashika prema madandasyandam tanotamama chitta makanda. So he's comparing his mind to a mango tree. And he's saying, may this mango tree of my mind be constantly sprinkled with the nectar of the Gokula pastimes of Krishna. In other words, descriptions of them. And then my mind will blossom and with the mango blossoms, and from them will drip the nectar, makaranda, of pure love of God. You see the beauty of the poetry there? So there's hundreds of thousands of vibrations like that. We can take them and meditate on them and chant them, and that's the way we remember Krishna. Now, serving Krishna's lotus feet. Now, in our next, this afternoon session, it talks about taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet as the only place of safety. Majahore manashi nanda nanda na abhaya charanada bindare. Abhaya charanada means the feet which bring fearlessness. That's Prabhupada's name. He was given that name, Abhay Charan. And he kept it when he was initiated, right? Abhay Charanaravinda Das. So, serving Krishna's lotus feet. Now, practically speaking, that means serving the spiritual master. The spiritual master is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the qualification. So when you serve the spiritual master, then you're practically serving the lotus feet of Krishna. Worshipping Krishna, so many ways. We have the formal worship on the altar. Bowing down to and praying to Krishna. Last time we had this seminar 2 years ago, I think that's when we did Vandanam, those who were here. We did a whole thing on Vandanam. The three parts of Vandanam, does anyone remember what they are? It's kind of difficult. Bowing, glorifying, and praying. There's three elements, beginning with surrender. Namasye purusham tvadyam isharam pakate param. Queen Kunti prays. Begins her prayers with obeisances. Just like we come in the temple, first thing, obeisances. Right? But then there's glorification. And finally there's a prayer, there's a request. Perfect example, Tulsi prayer. Starting tomorrow, if we're authorized, we're going to say the English. Start saying the English again. Oh Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow before you again and again. My desires to obtain the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It's easy to forget the meaning of this because it's a foreign language and it just goes over us. This is an extremely advanced prayer. So, bow before you again and again. Glorification, whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. In other words, you have great power to fulfill the spiritual desires. Right? Then there's the prayer. My desire is to obtain the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Please make me a follower of the coward damsels of Braj. This is extremely advanced prayer. So that's there in the Tulsi prayer and throughout the Bhagavatam you'll find. So, worshipping Krishna, vandanam, bowing down to praying, becoming Krishna's servant, Krishna's friend, very advanced, and of course surrendering everything to Krishna. So we're back to the process of surrender. So, at the same time as we engage in these positive things, we're accepting these, right? This is accepting things favorable. We need to reject the association of materialists of all stripes and follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees. This is the remainder of that verse, Utsahanishtaya Daya. But to be able to do any of this sincerely over time, we need to accept the first three essential steps given by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So in the Nectar of Devotion, you'll find these 64 elements of devotional service, right? 64 things to do, many of them having to do with deity worship. And then 64 offenses to be avoided. So you notice it's anukul yasya sankalpa and pratikul yasya vajanam with all that. We're not going to go through all of them. But these first three are essential. This is the first three. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. And three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Really, if we can do those nicely, everything else will follow. Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. So, I'm going to stop here for a minute. Are there any questions, comments on this? There's a lot of material we've covered so far. But, you know, yes, sir. Oh, no, I have the mic, so... Okay. By the way, for those of you who don't know, this is a picture of Sanatana Goswami surrendering to Lord Chaitanya. Just like Arjuna, he had the opportunity to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master. But it's a very nice image of the mood of surrender.
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bob.
Prabhuji, you said that Harinam should not be heard from lips of a non-devotee because it's like poison. But the thing is, Harinam is, I mean, it's coming from a spiritual world and it's pure in itself. So how can it be affected by something material in nature?
Okay, first of all, you have to understand, I didn't say that. This is from the... This is coming from the Shastra, quoted by Sanatana Goswami. The verse goes, how's it go? Does anyone remember? That's the Sarvachishtam Yutapa, yeah. I forget the first line of the verse. Anyway, so the idea is that intrinsically, as you say, the holy name is powerful. But it can be used, the power can be covered and distorted by those who are not devotees. And we find this in all kinds of things. So how many times did Prabhupada rail against the misinterpretations of the Bhagavad Gita? Right? The Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's own words. And these Bhagavad Gitas that are out, most of them, they'll give the translation. In fact, this is a unique perspective I have because of my editing. You know, there's so many things that went... You may not know that when Prabhupada was first pushing his own Bhagavad Gita, it was very difficult to produce that Bhagavad Gita, you know, 1,000-page book with all that Sanskrit. We didn't have any, you know, competent Sanskrit editors. The English editor was competent as an English editor, but he was dealing with all kinds of things he didn't know about. So at one point, Hayagriva Prabhu, who was the editor, he was coming to Prabhupada with so many questions about the translations because he didn't see how it followed and all this. So Prabhupada said, don't worry about the translations. You can copy one from some other Bhagavad Gita. They have the translations together. It's the commentary that's the problem. They misinterpret, you know, for their own nefarious reason. So just like one can try to use the Bhagavad Gita for material purposes, you can do anything. Prasadam, you know. In other words, it may look like prasadam. You may have said the mantras, you know. But your real motive is just to make money, you know. It's not really to serve Krishna or to help people by distributing real prasadam. So that affects the potency of what is going on. It's not that there may not be some interest. I mean, there are devotees who've come to this movement on the base of hearing kirtan in that way, but. As a regular thing, for devotees who are already committed on the actual path to get enamored of some materialistic, nice-sounding kirtan, which is not being performed by a devotee, this will damage your devotional service. That's the idea. You know. Okay, so any others? We should go on? All right. So, now, there was another question? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In your last slide, you had three items.
This three here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To follow these nine set of devotional service, we have to accept the shelter of lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. I hear this again and again. It sounds very nice, but actually what it means by accepting
the shelter?
Shelter of lotus feet. What is shelter of lotus feet means?
All right, well, it's like this. You've read the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
You're familiar a little bit with the sixth chapter? So, what does Krishna say? He says, Uddhadeit atmanatmanam, natmanam avasadiyet. Atmaivadatmano bandhur, atmaivadriparatmanaha. One should elevate oneself by his mind and not degrade himself. The mind can be the best friend of the living entity or his worst enemy. You understand? And then he goes on to say that the mind that is fixed on me, basically, that is fixed on Krishna, that's the best friend. But the mind that is taking you away from that and is fixed on material things is your worst enemy. So basically speaking, everybody's living as intimately as you could with their worst enemy. So the mind is the key. The mind is what is the source of your bondage and it's the source of your liberation. That's another verse in that sixth chapter, in the purports. So, accepting that, understanding that, okay, now I know that yeah, my mind is not my friend here. I have to control the mind. I have to train the mind. I have to draw it away from matter and have to put it on Krishna, sometimes forcibly. Right, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati say? In the morning, you have to beat your mind 100 times with a broomstick, and in the evening, 100 times with a shoe. Right? So what did he mean by that? Well, why do you have to do that? Because the mind is very rebellious. You know, sometimes it's compared to a wild horse, you know, out of control, sometimes to a hurricane wind, sometimes a buzzing bee that doesn't stay anywhere. But we all have experience. So how are we going to get control of this mind? Can someone bring me a glass of water? I may need it. Somehow I have a problem with the voice. Oh, I have. Okay, we have it, Nityananda. I didn't notice. So, we need help. In other words, we need help in controlling that mind. And the help comes, it must come from someone who has control of it. In other words, who is beyond the modes of nature. And who can advise us, based on the Shastra, of the techniques of subduing that mind, making it from the enemy to the friend. So this is the first idea. Shelter means that, okay, I don't know. This is a verse, I think it's here or in the future, but it's such an important verse, I'm going to share it with you. It's quoted again in the instructions to Sanatana Goswami, and Prabhupada was sometimes quoted, if you listen to his lectures, Kama dinam katina katita palita durni deshas tesham jata maina karuna anatrapa no pishantihi utsvijayatan hati yodopate sampratam labdha buddhis Pamayatak Shadanama Bahyumam the Yung Swatma Dasye. Anyone know this verse? Okay, Nityananda Prabhu. So I put it into a little poem. In how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy. Yet on I've gone shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now I'm rejecting these hellish desires, for my higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me give you, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. So there's a lot in there. And it's also pertinent for our, the idea of, accepting Krishna as one's protector. Because he talks about Krishna as the shelter of fearlessness, the lotus feet. So first of all, there's an assessment. It's just like an addict, right? With millions of addicts in this world. Whether it's tobacco or alcohol or some drug. Some of us may have gone through that or not. But the point is, something gets a hold of you, right? And it, there's a strong desire really coming up from the body, right? And you can't control it. You know it's bad for you. It's destroying you. But you can't stop. Tomorrow I'll do it. You know what? You know, this is addiction, right? It means that your mind, your intelligence has been taken over. It's been subordinate to the senses, which have now been strongly attached to something. So, the first step in escaping from this bondage is to recognize that you have a problem. Right? Not to think that my real problem is getting the object of addiction. This is what addicts are mostly into. I can't think about it. I gotta have a drink. I gotta have the drug. It's a very good analogy, because all of us are addicts. Maybe not to drugs, but various things of the material world. So here we have the expression of a devotee who's come to that recognition. Actually, this verse is written by Madhavendra Puri, I learned. And he's taking assessment. Oh, how many lifetimes have I obeyed the demands? He says, kama dinam. In my little poem, I couldn't put the other things. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Sound familiar? We heard about these this morning. These are the pushings, not just of lust or strong desire, but its concomitant, its brother, inevitable anger and greed and madness and envy and enmity. All these things push us to act in ways that are completely self-destructive. So he's saying they're like evil, you know, very cruel taskmasters. So he's saying and for many births I've been obeying their demands, but they're never satisfied, nor am I satisfied, and it's just misery. So now he's saying I've given them up. On what strength? my intelligence has awoken. By strengthening the intelligence, by hearing or reading the Shastra, one can understand what's what, who am I, what is God, what is this world, what's the relationship. And you can understand the means of escaping from the bondage. So this all this is there in the intelligence. And so then he's taking the act, the essential act, approaching Krishna, please engage me in your service. Now, practically speaking, we can't approach Krishna directly. So it means approaching the spiritual master, you please engage me in Krishna's service. In other words, I'm not going to follow the dictates of my mind anymore. I'm going to follow your instructions. You know, this is the beginning of surrender. So this verse is very important, recognizing the you know where we stand. So practically speaking, we cannot do it without Krishna's representative, someone who we can see. Someone asks this question to Srila Prabhupada, a similar question. What's in it? Why is the real necessity of having an actual spiritual master, a person? You know, can't we just read Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna? No, because the spiritual master can't pull your ear. He can get on your case. You can read the Bhagavad Gita and be so enlivened and chant Hare Krishna, but then when Maya calls, you say, and just close up the book. You know, Krishna's not going to come out of those pages and hit you over the head. Right? We're perfectly free. But if we have committed ourselves to a spiritual master, he says, oh, what will he think of me? You know? And I have affection for him. I don't want to hurt him. You know, I don't want to disappoint him. Another, or her, you know, at the come one day. And so, therefore I won't do this or I will do this. You see that? And that's why we sing every morning, Shri Guru Charana Rati Ese Uttamagati. That attraction, affection for the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the best means of advancement. You see? Everything is personal. Becoming to this world means we're becoming impersonal. Oh, there's no Krishna. He doesn't care. I don't care about him. You know, and you come and you engage in so many things. And so that's why the spiritual master, Krishna, he is favorable to the spiritual master. He loves the spiritual master. And whoever the spiritual master has affection for, or then he'll love him. What does Vishnu say? He says, aham bhakta pradino. Asvatantra dvija ivadvija sadhubir bhakta vidyo bhakta bhakta janapriya. So he's telling this to Durvasa Muni. You know the story. He went to the Vaikuntha, tried to escape the chakra because he defended the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. So then he says, when Durvasa praised him, well, it's your chakra, please remove it. He says, oh, I can't remove it. I'm not independent. I'm under the control of my devotees. Aham bhakta paradino asvatantra iva, as if I'm not independent. But he chooses to be dependent on his devotees. And then he says something very interesting. Sadhubir grastavidyo. The sadhus, the pure devotees, have control of my heart. They've taken my heart. Grastavidyo. And not only then, but bhakta bhakta janava, those who are dear to the devotees are also have my heart. You see? So that's why it's important for us to become dear to Krishna's pure devotee. And then we can get all kinds of blessings. I mean, there are many other reasons, but this is some of them. Should we go on? Okay. So now we have a series of verses that I want to just explore a little bit on this subject of accepting what is favorable. Some of these you may know, some not. This is a famous, probably we quote this, it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita from the Stotra Ratna. And so the first one, this is where a devotee prays to be situated and fixed as in his devotional mood to Krishna and some of the effects of that. So I'll say, you say, Bhavantameva Nucharan Nirantara Prashanta Nikshesa Manoratantara Kadaha Mai Kantika Nitya Kinkara Paharsha Yasyami Sanata Jivitam So the great Sri Yamunacharya prays, who was the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya, I believe, in his Stotra Ratna, by serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When will I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? So this uttering of the desires, we can chant this verse, we can read the English, right? And by reading this and entering into the mood of them, we can awaken our understanding and our feeling of wanting to be a servant of Krishna. This is what, you know, is the most favorable thing, is to have that desire to serve Krishna. So what's the result? First of all, he says, nirantara means without gap. So this is the famous ahoitukiya pratyata, means without any impediment or any breakage. Anucharan, favorably. Prashanta nikshesa manodatanta. This is the famous manorata, the chariot of the mind. You notice how the mind can just take you, right? We have what we call a train of thought. So this is the chariot of the mind. So there's endless. There's endless desires and thoughts and things that we can think about. And it's called the manorata. But here it says prashanta. It pacifies. Being situated as a servant of Krishna, the mind becomes pacified. And then he says, Kadam, when will I serve you as a kinkara? Kinkara is not just a servant, but it's a menial servant. Be satisfied with any kind of service, you know, for your devotion, you know, for your mission. And I can think it means one-pointed. And I'll be very jubilant. Paharshi yasyami sanata jivitam. To live with such a wonderful master. This word sanata is used traditionally to mean married lady, that they have a husband. So this is Yamunacharya's expression of his desire to accept that mood of pure devotion. And the next one we have. Now this is a verse, and this in the next verse deal with the holy name. This is the first verse of the Rupa Goswami's Namashtika. And very sweet. It's quoted in the purport in one of Prabhupada's books. Nikila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala Duti Nida Jitapada Pankajanta Ahi Mukta Kolaro Pasyamanam Paritas Twam Hadinama Sangshriyami. Oh Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. Oh Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. So we're back to Sharanagati here, the shelter, right? Sangshriyami. So the idea here... Very beautiful image, metaphor. First of all, this word nirajita, this is exactly what we do in arti, with the deepa, you know? The jewels of the crown jewels of the Vedas are the Upanishads. They have the essence of all the philosophy. So just like in chapter 87, 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas, sometimes it said, oh, those are the Upanishads. So what are they doing? They're offering prayer to Mahavishnu. Right? So similarly, the ends of all the knowledge of the Upanishads, which sometimes seems to be gearing toward impersonal, Brahman, right? Except you have Golpaltapani, you have Isha Upanishad, so it's not. But still, the end of the whole thing is the holy name, is chanting the holy name. In other words, the personality of Krishna. So they're worshipping the toes of your lotus feet. Now, since when does the name have lotus feet? You know what I mean? This is also like pretty inconceivable. But the idea is the name is not different from the person. Right? Achincha Beta Beta Tantra. Or, what is it? Abhinna Nama Nami No. The last verse. That there's no difference between the name and the named. Now that one concept is like inconceivable. But that's spiritual. That when we chant Hare Krishna, right? Sincerely, devotee's chanting. Not a pure devotee, but he's chanting. We're actually associating with Krishna personally through that sound. Lord Chaitanya says, Nam Nam Akadi Bahudana Jasarva Shakti, that you've invested all your potencies into that holy name. So we're gonna talk about this in the next section on things to avoid or things to reject. That's one of the offenses, to forget that Krishna is non-different than his holy name. We don't always chant it that way, but I'll show you what it said. So, the holy name, being non-different from Krishna, also has lotus feet, and it's worshipping the tips of the toes. In other words, surrendering fully. You're eternally adored by all liberated souls like Narada and Shukadeva, or Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. And there's so many verses we could, you know, the beautiful verses I'll share with you, we don't have time right now. Right near the beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, this wonderful verse about the holy name, which we'll deal with later. But I have one more that I'd like to share before we go into our next section, maybe some discussion. And this is again from Namashtika, number 5. And here, he's praying for increasing the taste of chanting the holy name. This is so important, because sometimes we chant, and I said, well, I know it's supposed to be pure nectar, but I'm finding my mind wandering, I may be falling asleep, what time is it? You know, and our mind is, we're not tasting. So, what to do? Pray for that taste. Pray to the holy name through the holy name. This is a little phrase I developed on one of these japa retreats. In your chanting, you could be praying to the holy name. Please let me concentrate on you more. Please let me taste the sweetness that I know is in there. You can have that mood as you chant. Anyway, this is a more formal and directed idea, but the same idea is here. So he's giving sample names. See if you can chant. Agadamana Yashoda Nanda Nanda Suno. Kamala Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendra. Pranata Kaduna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe. Tvai Mama Natur Uchar Vardhatam Namadeha. O holy name, this shouldn't be an I there. O holy name, kindly increase my love for you in your many forms, such as Agadamana, the crusher of Agasura, Yashodanandana, the son of Yashoda, Nandasunu, son of Nanda, Kamala Nayana, the lotus-eyed lord, Gopi Chandra, the moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, the king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karuna, the surrendered soul's most merciful lord, and Krishna. So he's praying there for increased taste. So this is, we've come halfway, a little more than halfway. We have to 1 o'clock. So if there's any comments or questions, we can quickly go through them. Otherwise, we're going to go to the other side, which is rejecting those things unfavorable. Shall I go on? Okay. So now, part two, Pratikulya Sivarjanam. Rejecting what is unfavorable for devotional service. And we're going to read this, one of Bhaktivinoda's songs here, from his Sharanagati. Just the translation. First, the first verse. Tua bhakti pratikula dharma jate roi, padama jatane taha, chajibo nishchoi. My dear Lord Krishna, I will assuredly abandon with utmost endeavor all things in which aversion to your devotional service is inherent. I will not keep company with those opposed to your devotional service, nor even look at the faces of those inimical toward Lord Gauranga. I will never reside at a place unfavorable for devotional practices, and I will never take pleasure in non-devotional activities. I will read no book opposed to pure devotion, nor listen to any scriptural explanation which counters pure devotional principles. I will never regard as sacred any place where Lord Gauranga is rejected. All knowledge or action hindering pure devotional service, I consider worthless. Any seasonal observance which poses obstacles to the execution of devotional service finds no favor with me. And I consider as strangers all my own relatives or family members who are averse to devotional service. I will totally abandon all desires that hinder devotion, and I will never touch foodstuffs offered to me by non-devotees. I vow to carefully avoid whatever I know to be contrary to devotional service. That's kind of a summary. This is a most definite proclamation. Bhaktivinoda falls down at the feet of the Lord and begs for the strength to give up all things that are unfavorable to pure devotion. What a nice mood, isn't it? We can meditate on it. He's taking this, you know, role of a neophyte for our benefit. Even he said, Mahabhagavat. So I wrote this. Now this is the famous story about the boat, the wedding party with the anchor down. I don't know if you've heard that story. I've modified it a little bit. So this is a picture from an old BTG about that story. Each of us has been suffering in the ocean of material miseries since time immemorial. But the human body is like a well-constructed boat that can take us to the far shore of the ocean, to the spiritual world, the land of eternal bliss beyond all suffering. The bona fide guru is the able captain of the ship, and the practices of bhakti Lord Krishna teaches through the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other sacred books are like strong boatmen that can swiftly impel the boat to its destination. But if we fail to reject those things that are unfavorable to devotional service, they will act like an anchor that slows or even stops our progress. So this is I kind of modified the story a bit, but you can get the idea. There's a verse where Krishna says, Nirdeham Ajam Sulabham Sudurlabham Pravam Sukalpam Gurukar Nadharam. He compares this human body to a boat, a very ideal boat, which has Adyam, all facilities for crossing the ocean of birth and death. Plavam's guru, and the guru is the able captain of the ship. But it needs, in this case, it's not a rowboat, but it's a sailboat. So it needs favorable winds. And my instructions in the Vedas and the Vedic literature, those are the favorable winds to take the boat to the other shore. With all these facilities, if one doesn't cross over the ocean, one is atmaha, one is killing himself. Of course, you can't kill the self, but that's the Christian statement. So, that's the importance of rejecting those things that are unfavorable. It's a twofold process. One is accepting the favorable things, and one is rejecting the unfavorable. Practically speaking, the first step is accepting something favorable, to at least enter into the part of the bhakti. And then you realize, and you understand, and you try to reject as many things as unfavorable. So let's look at some of those things that are unfavorable. We know what they are, but there are many. So there's three. I came up with three categories. There are probably more. Three categories of impediments to bhakti. First is the four pillars of sin. Mara talked about these: meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. So this you hear about these. Anyone who's serious about really practicing bhakti, it doesn't take long before you hear about these things. And it's like a cold splash of water in the face, you know. Because Krishna consciousness, especially, you know, there's so much about it, that just seems to be a big party. You know, you come to the temple and there's all this dancing and chanting and there's feasting and, you know, I like the devotees and everything. Yeah. But if you really want to get serious, you have to give these things up. Because each one of them is like totally destructive. They keep us very much bound to the bodily concept of life. They're a mode of ignorance. And so they directly go against devotional service. And if you try to, you know, chant Hare Krishna and practice these things and do these things at the same time, mostly for devotees, you know, anyone who's serious, all right, meat eating, that's not, you know, I understand that. But the tough ones are the intoxication and the illicit sex for people who are not serious and have association. But all four are essential. So those are the first thing we have to give up. Now the thing is, if you practice chanting, you know, sincerely, and you pray through the chanting, and you engage in kirtan, you get the spiritual strength to actually give these up. This is how it works. But still, there has to be the sankalpa. There has to be the determination and the desire to do it. So, then we have again Rupa Goswami's helping up in his Upadeshamrita. He has the other side. We had Utsahana Shayad, now we have Atyahara Piyasascha. The following destroy one's devotion. And so these six actually expand into eight, as you see. Overeating or over-collecting. Two, over-endeavoring for mundane things. Three, mundane talking. Four, mechanically following the scriptural rules and regulations or rejecting them entirely. Five, associating with non-devotees. And six, being greedy for mundane achievements. So Prabhupada expands on these. He explains them so beautifully in the book, the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. But you can see how, what are we trying to do in devotional service? We're trying to rise up, right, out of the modes of nature and come to the point actually of pure goodness. But preliminarily, we need to come to the point of goodness. The platform of goodness is a wonderful station from which we can actually progress into devotional service, into pure goodness, sattva, shuddha sattva. So, overeating, this is a common, I struggled with this for many years when I first joined, age 25, I'm following the principles along with, all the other brahmacharis and, everyone is struggling with it. Because that's, it's not a rule. Let me hear now, Prabhupada, we eat as much as you can when you first come, So, it's a very powerful force. But if you can diminish or gradually reduce that, you'll find it's much easier to get absorbed in everything about Krishna consciousness, especially the chanting. And over-collecting. This can also be a problem. Collecting too much. And what is that a symptom of? It's a symptom of lack of surrender. Lack of faith that Krishna will maintain. Right? That's one of the principles of surrender. Whatever you need to live comfortably, but not more than that. Not to, over-endeavoring for mundane things. Mundane talks. This is a big problem for japa. As soon as you get you hear, right? This is the Tower of Babel. I mean, the internet, I mean, yes, there are some wonderful devotional sites on there, but you have more opportunity now than ever before to engage in prajalpa. So it's a big thing. We have to actually focus on only those things that are glorifying Krishna, because pure sound will take us back to Godhead, and mundane sound will destroy us. Mechanically following the scriptural rules. This means just going out of rote, just being there, but your mind is a million miles away. This is why I always encourage devotees to study the songbook. Understand the meanings. If you're coming to the Mangal Arti, that's great. Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja. Understand the meaning of those words. That can really enter into your heart. That's a perfect way to commit Niyamagraha, means, mechanically. Just be there, but, not actually be there with your intelligence. That's the danger. What to speak of, not showing up. That's the other part of Niyamagraha. And that will definitely, damage your devotional life. Associating with non-devotees, notice that this is in both of them. The emphasizing the importance. On the positive side, giving up the association of non-devotees. On the negative side, associating with non-devotees. Shishi Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. Shri Gornatai Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadraji Ki Jai. So, Sangha, I don't know if we did it here, but there's a whole nice, wonderful section in the teachings of Kapiladev in the third canto, 3:25:20, beginning at that verse. There's eight verses on association, on Sangha. Very wonderful. And since there are eight verses, I named it the Sadhu Sanghashtaka. I hope I don't get any trouble with, doing that with the Bhagavatam, but so far... So what does he say there? Pasangam majadam bhasham atmana kavayo vidu saheva sadhu sukato moksha dwaram apavatam. Mundane affection keeps us bound to birth and death infernal, but love for sadhus opens wide the doors to life eternal. I put it into a little verse so you can remember. It's just like that. We've been associating. Prasangam is even more powerful than sangha. Sangha means association. Prasangam means really close association. Listening to, picking up the mood of. That can be there for mundaners and materialists as well as devotees. So he says this powerful attachment and association has to be turned towards sadhus. Then for three verses, he describes what the sadhu is. Tatikshava karunika suridaksa vadehina majata shatravakshanta sadhavak sadhabhushana. Familiar verse? Sadhu is tolerant and compassionate. the friend of all living beings, has no enemy, no enmity. Very peaceful because of all this. And abides by the Shastra. But it doesn't mention bhakti. That's the next verse. Maya nanena bhavena bhaktin kurvanda ye dridham. Matkute chakta karmanas chakta svajana bandana. In one pointed devotion to me, anannena bhavena, kurvanda ye dridham, with great determination. We learned how, right? To get that determination in the previous utsahanishayad bharyat, nishtaya. So, for my sake, he will give up, he'll give up any activity. And for my sake, he will even leave his close relatives if they are impediments to devotional service, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. You know, you try your best, but your Krishna consciousness has to be first, if you're serious. That's your first consideration in your life. So then he goes on, he says, well, then what do they do? Marashaya katam rishta shinvandi katayanti cha tapandi vivadastapa naitan margata chetasa. He says that they're always hearing and chanting the delightful vibrations concerning me. Mrisha means sweet. You see? And in this way, they hardly are even aware of the threefold miseries. The suffering. Tapandi vivadastapa naitan margata chetasa. Because their minds are fixed on me. So they don't suffer at all like ordinary people. Of course you have bodies, you know, there's going to be things, but it's not the same if you're Krishna conscious. So then he encourages his mother, he's speaking to Devahuti, now you know, find out these such sadhus and associate with them. Because by their association, sangha dosha hara hite. You remember last night we talked about nirma namoha, jita sangha dosha? So sangha dosha means all of these anarthas that have accumulated over lifetimes due to bad association. That's the faults of bad association. So he's saying, by the good association of sadhus, devotees, you will eradicate all of these remnants of bad association. Purification, that's what we're all about, right? So then the famous verse, some of you may know, Nityananda Pran, you with me? Please chant along. Sangtam pasangan mama virya sambido Bhavanti Ritkan Rasayana Katha Tadjoshanada Shopavarga Vartmani Shadharati Bhaktaranu Kamishati. Very important verse. Notice the word prasanga is there also, right? Just like the first one. So by intense, meaningful association with sadhus, with satam, Mamavirya Sambido, you will hear talks about my powerful activities. This is Kapila Dev speaking. It's Krishna. And it's not some austerity, but it's very nectarian for the heart and the ear. Bhavanti rit karna rasaya nakata. And this process is a process of liberation, abhavarga vartmani. By engaging in this process of liberation, one will develop three things. Shraddha, rati, and bhakti. The faith has to be strengthened. Everything rests on the foundation of faith. And by that faith, you engage in the process and gradually develop attraction for Krishna, rati, which matures into bhakti. In this case, means prema bhakti. He goes on. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. So everything depends on sangha. Everything. That's why sadhu sangha, sarva sastra goy, lava mata sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Lord Chaitanya says, even a moment's association with the real sadhu can open the door to full perfection. That's why associated with non-devotees is one of the things we have to give up. And then greedy for mundane achievements. Obviously greed is not where we want to go. And so we go on. We have a few more minutes. The third category is offenses. How many times have we heard to give up? This is just the offenses against the holy name. There's also Vaishnava aparad, Dhamma aparad, Seva aparad. There's all kinds of offenses. We need to know what they are, study the nectar of devotion, and avoid them. Sometimes we don't know. You may not know that sitting... I'll show you. Since I have your attention. Some of you, anyway. Sitting like this in front of the deities in the fence. You know? Maybe some of you might know. Now that you know, you can't do it. Sometimes it becomes difficult to say, sitting in class. Nothing. Okay. It says in the book, we have to accept that. And there's a lot of other ones in there we should know. So I just thought we'd focus on these offenses of the holy name, since this is our main sadhana. So, of course, to blaspheme devotees, you know, we have to really guard against that. Because in the ordinary course of our, you know, material life, that's something that's going on all the time. We have a candidate for president, I will not sully this atmosphere with his name, whose whole campaign is based on insulting others. Right? So it's in the air, it's in the ether. And naturally, you know, it may just come roll off, but be very careful. Because you don't want to do that with them. So don't blaspheme the devotees. Consider the names of Shiva, Brahma, other demigods equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu's names. Now, I wanted to share something with you. This is one of those offenses that actually expands into three, although we may not know it. And I'm just going to share with you the Sanskrit, which isn't on the board. This is all from Padma Puran. Shivasya, Shri Vishnur, Yahya Gunu Nama Adi Sakalam, Diya Binnam Pashet Sakalu Harinama Hitakara. So I'm sure that didn't mean much to you, but I'll just illustrate. So the first word is Shivasya, means all auspicious, right? And Diya Binnam. The word Diya Binnam, Diya means the mentality, and Binnam means separate, okay? So the first part of the offense is, this is actually from a purport in the Adi Lila, I'm just quoting. In the material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental, absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the Lord from his holy name or his transcendental form or quality, that is an offense. In other words, as we chant Hare Krishna, right? I'm assuming everyone here is chanting Hare Krishna on the beads to some degree, hopefully 16 rounds. So this thought or this underlying understanding should be there that I'm now associating with Krishna, that this holy name is God, is Krishna. It's inconceivable, but it's part of the Shastra. And if we forget that, that means that, you know, suppose Radha and Krishna walk through the door right here. They're coming on their beautiful lotus feet. Krishna's got his thing. Would we say, oh, that's very interesting. Now let me go back to what I was saying. You see? This is what's happening. In other words, we should feel like that. The holy name has agreed to appear on our tongue, you know, out of his mercy. It's not a given. It's not a given. There are billions of people in this world who don't chant and even can't chant. I'll tell you a quick story. We have a few minutes. When I was coming to the Krishna consciousness, you know, I was doing a lot of hatha yoga. I was following the four regs, not knowing what they were. It just happened that I was, which was good because I got into the chanting. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna, not 16 rounds, maybe 8 rounds a day, visiting the temple every so often. I think before I visited the temple. So I was going to Ramakrishna Mission in New York. They had a very nice facility there probably for decades from the beginning of the 20th century. And the leader there was very charismatic. He was a young guy. He was replacing Nikalananda, who Srila Prabhupada met. And he was a very skilled speaker, and I would hear his Bhagavad Gita classes. And so I started getting involved in that center. And they invited me to the lunches. You know, they would have a Sunday lunch before in the early afternoon. So I started going there, and at that time I was raw. I was doing all raw food, just for my health. You know, a lot of juices and things like that. I didn't know what I was doing, so it didn't taste very good, but I was starchy. I'd get very thin. So I'd go to the lunches, and I'd say, well, I can't eat that, can't eat that. And believe it or not, you didn't have to be a vegetarian. You could be a vegetarian, but if you wanted meat, they would, even cow meat, right there at the table. I didn't know anything. But at that time, I already had got this beautiful poster of Krishna standing with a cow that I put up in my room that I was chanting to, you know. So I thought, well, this is, you know, I'm kind of accepting him as my guru, and he's eating meat there. He's carving it away. And so why should I try to do something different, you know? So after months of raw food, not just vegetarian, I had some meat. Oh, I hope you never have to go through this. It was like mainlining the mode of passion. I could suddenly feel my whole mentality change, you know. It was pretty scary. So, okay, I said, well, that didn't feel so good, you know. All right, so I go back next morning, I do my asanas and everything, sit down to chant, look at that beautiful picture of Krishna with the cow. I couldn't chant. I could not chant. And then, dear, Krishna's with the cow. He loves the cow, and I ate part of his cow. He wouldn't let me chant. It was scary. Now, it may not be so dramatic like that, but what may happen if you offend the name, you'll lose the desire to chant. Krishna will arrange it so that you have other things to do, you're not so interested, you know, you have fights with the devotees, can't come to the temple. We've seen it, 44 years, 50 years of this movement. So many devotees have come, been serious, and then somehow, mostly by offenses, or slacking off in their sadhana, they lose the taste, you know, and then they're gone. They're swept away. You know, some of them come back, some of them you don't know. So don't let that happen to you. So that's the first one. Accept or understand that the name is not different from Krishna. Now the other ones is Shivasya, to think the name of Shiva or Brahma is equal to the name of Krishna. Prabhupada says equal to or independent of, right, we say? So they're two different things. One is equal to, meaning that I can chant the name of Shiva, I'm Brahma, Surya, Kali, anything, and I'll get the same benefit. This is Mayavad. It means it'll help you concentrate. If you need to do that, you can, you know, help you concentrate. This is what the Mayavadis think. Yeah, those emotional bhaktas, you know. The real thing is Gyan. This is what that guru told me. It's Gyan, not bhakti. This is classic, you know. So luckily I got to the devotees. So think it's independent or equal to or independent of, meaning that yes, I'll go to Krishna for the prema, and I'll go to Kali for when I want material things, and then I'll Ganesh, I want my business to prosper. You've seen, you know, the Hindu panoply of gods. That's also Mayavad. That's also very offensive. No. All of these gods and goddesses, whatever they can give you, it's all dependent on Krishna. And we're severely enjoined not to worship anyone else but Krishna, by the way. So I wanted to share that with you. We'll quickly go on. Let's see, where are we here? Okay. So just to go through the offenses, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna imaginary, to give some mundane interpretation of the holy name, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. Some of these are more, how shall I put it? We're more prone to commit them than others. You know, especially if we're in the West, we may not even know any other demigods, you know, which we're fortunate. But this one is common. If you start falling away, you may think, yeah, you know, it's so much, I'm in so much anxiety, you know, let me smoke a little dope, you know. So that's sinful activities, because I know I can chant Hare Krishna, I'll be relieved of any reaction. I know, it's part of the Shastra, right? It's very, very offensive. What'll happen is Krishna, again, he'll take away your desire to chant. He can do that. Consider the chanting of Hare Krishna a materially motivated ritual. To glorify the holy name to the faithless. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't go and out and ask people to chant Hare Krishna. It means that you shouldn't, you know, speak all of the esoteric aspects of the holy name to people who have no faith. It's pearls before swine. Not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments. So maintaining material attachments, that's this thing that we struggle with. Now the one here, to disrespect the spiritual master by disobeying his orders, number 3. The actual word is avajananti, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, the disrespect. And we often think, well, I would never disrespect Prabhupada. I come in like that, and my, you know, spiritual master, I offer obeisances and everything like that. But the key is, it's Prabhupada's explanation, that by not obeying the orders, by not accepting the instructions of the spiritual master, that's a form of disrespect, which makes it much more serious, you understand. And finally, to be inattentive while chanting. Well, we all struggle with that. You know, if we're all absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, we'd be pure devotees. So that's something that we need to work on. And the fact of the matter is that by observing the things that Rupa Goswami is saying and avoiding the other offenses, it becomes more possible to become fully absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. That's also a gift of Krishna. You know, your ability to focus on His holy name. So these are some of the things we need to be serious about. And really quickly, let's see, we have a few more minutes. We're going to end at 1. These are some of the verses I picked out. There are many illustrating this point of giving up what's damaging to devotional service. So this famous verse, we can all chant together. I'll say, you say, Nadanang Nadanang Nasundarim Kavitang Ba Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishware Bhavata Bhakti Dahai Tukitvahi. Okay, this is of course written by Lord Chaitanya himself, Shikshastika number 4. And he says, I put it into a little poem, wealth in women, followers, the fruits of mundane piety, liberation from this world of limitless anxiety. For me, O Lord, such common goals have not the slightest worth. Let me serve you purely now and in each future birth. So these dana, jana, sundarim, these are things that one commonly prays for. When you go to God, go to church, go to temple. You know, I need some money to pay the mortgage, you know, or whatever. But Krishna says, Lord Chaitanya says, no, no, no. And Janmani Janmanishwara indicates he's not even praying for liberation. Right? He's saying birth is the birth. As long as I can have this unmotivated, notice the ahoitaki, that word keeps coming up. This unmotivated devotion to you, that's what I'm praying for. So he's teaching us how to pray. Now this is a verse that I discovered some time ago, in the 15th chapter of the 3rd canto, I think Lord Brahma is speaking, and he describes who doesn't get to go to Vaikuntha, and it's based on prajalpa. If you engage too much prajalpa, this is what happens. So I'll say, see if you can follow along. Yanna vajant agabido vachananu varach. Chinvanti yena vishaya kukatama tigni. Yastu shuta hatabhagar nibir atasaras. Tangs tang chipant ashadane shutamaksu hunta. Unfortunate souls who listen to bad words that never glorify Krishna's pastimes cannot enter the spiritual world. Alas, such words destroy their intelligence, piety, and good fortune and cast them into hell with no shelter. This is the power of mundane vibrations. This is exactly opposite to the power of spiritual vibrations. So this is really, you know, so much of our Krishna consciousness, what we choose to hear and repeat, and what we choose to read and write, that makes all the difference in our life. So the great devotees, you know, they say they're casting out any, like Bhaktivedanta Thakur, I will not read any book that doesn't glorify you, right? So now we have, you know, a greater panoply. I will not watch any station, not go to any site that doesn't glorify you. It's a challenge. But it's, notice the thing. This atasaras means literally stealing away the essence. You know? All from the sound vibration. And these vibrations themselves, they cast you down. Because they fill your mind and your heart with things by the modes of nature. Okay, and this is the one I chanted before. But since it's on the board, we can repeat it. This is one about giving up the, unwicked desires. Kama dinang katina katita palita durnideshas. Not bad. Let's see if we can enhance it a little bit. I had this prepared, so listen. Kama dinam katina katita palita durnideshas. Kama dinam katina katita palita desham jata maina karuna natrapano prashantihi. Utsrinjaitan atayarupati sampratam labna buddhis. Tvamayata Shadanamabhayam Mam Niyung Svatma Dasye. Not bad. All right. Since we're all friends here, I'll try something even more radical. You ready? In how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy, yet on I've gone, shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now I'm rejecting those hellish desires, for my higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. Hare Krishna. So, this is the first time I tried it, so it needs a little work, but we're all friends here, so. So you understand that this is a very key verse. Madhya 22:16, if you're interested in studying it. And, okay, one more. I think this is the last slide. Asat sanga tyaga e Vaishnava achar. A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of non-devotees. Does anyone know who said that? Lord Chaitanya. He was describing the actual essential character of a Vaishnava, again in the instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And these are some of the verses around that. Vadam huta vaha jvala panjaranda vivastitihi na shauri chinta vimuka janasam vasa vaishasam. Better to be trapped in a cage surrounded by burning flames than to suffer the calamity of associating with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. You see how important it is to give up the association of non-devotees. Now I know the constant question is, yeah, but I got a job. And when I go to work, what am I going to do? Should I just wear my tilak, shave my head, and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? I won't keep the job. So this is the constant refrain. And I don't have a perfect answer for that. One has to... The best answer is to have a very intense morning program and evening program. When you have control of your environment, this is the key, decisions. What's going to be on your walls? What's going to come out of the speakers? What's going to be on the screens? And what you're going to read, right? That's when you have your at home. So what you do there will enable you to combat the influence of bad association in your environment. It's a struggle. And wherever possible, you can inject Krishna consciousness. You may find a friend there who's, interested in coming to the temple. Give him a book. But this is the statement of the Katyayana Samhita. And it's quoted by Lord Chaitanya, so it must be authoritative. And one more about association. There's my little illustration there. This is from Bhagavatam 3:31-33. Satyam Shaucham Daya Maunam Buddhir Hir Shir Yashak Shama Samo damo bhagas cheti yat sangad yati sankshayam. Association with worldly people robs one of all truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, and all good fortune. Not very good prospect. And this is the instruction of Krishna in his form as Kapila Dev. So we have to take it very seriously. Any final comments or questions? We have 4 minutes. Hare Krishna. Okay. So we'll end on something sweet. That's certainly sweet. This is our theme. We're going to have that at the end of every session. So, one shloka I can share with you. The other day we did the one about the holy name. So, Bilvamangal Thakur. He also writes about the glories of the holy name at the end of his Krishna Karnamrita. I don't know if any of you know this verse. It's very beautiful. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Got this here. Jaya 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 Deva 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 Tribhubana Mangala Divya Nama Deha Jaya 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 Deva Krishna Deva Shravana Mano Nayanama Tavatara. Hold on. Oh, glories, 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 Lord. Oh, glories unto Thee, who with Thy holy name bless all three worlds and set them free. Oh, glory, glory, glory unto Thee, O Krishna Dev, whose nectar floods our ears and eyes and hearts in endless waves. There you go. Anyone who wants to learn the verse, just see me and I'll give it to you. Any final questions or comments? Otherwise we can adjourn. And yes, sir. Go ahead. Oh.
One of the slides, you said that we need to accept the shelter of a spiritual master to do all the nine process of bhakti. Yeah. So without accepting...
you can't make any advancement. You're talking about those three principles, accepting,
yeah,
take initiation,
so,
and take instructions?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's Rupa Goswami's formula.
So,
so what's the question?
But without still accepting, we can continue until we accept, we can continue to do all the processes.
Well, the thing is, it's not that you won't make any advancement. I mean, we're starting from, you know, zero, where we really start from. As I mentioned, just walking into the temple and taking some prasadam, that's a huge amount of advancement. But after you get first the preliminaries and you know the philosophy and you're trying to advance, You can't really go very far without accepting a spiritual master. Now, you know, basically when anyone who walks through the door and is reading Prabhupada's books and hearing class and so forth, we're under the shelter to a certain degree, to the degree that we're serious, of Srila Prabhupada. He's the eternal, as we know, founder of Acharyas of ISKCON. And that means he's the primary Shiksha Guru for everybody who comes within this movement. But what Rupa Goswami is talking about is really, you know, taking initiation. Well, we know, right? We're in this big struggle. You can't take initiation from Prabhupada right now, right? So you need to have someone who is following Srila Prabhupada perfectly, who is in that line, who can give this, you know, the shelter, and also, as you know, Prabhupada, you know, memorably said, can pull your ear. In other words, can get on your case, and you'll take it. You know what? Taking shelter means, okay, I'll take it. Just like Arjun, when Krishna, you know, started chastising him. Shishi, Kishore, Kishore, Jag, one sack, Jag. In fact, the symptom of maturity is to welcome the chastisement or the correction of the spiritual master. Right? It says, oh, I'm so fortunate to have this, you know, that he cares about me enough to get on my case. And there's, you know, the devotees who have had that experience with Srila Prabhupada over the years, and they can say, because you need that, you know, because the false ego is so powerful, the mind is so strong, that it needs to be, you know, disciplined in that way. So therefore, at a certain point, you know, the ladder from faith to love, arau shraddha, tataksaro sangha, the bhajana kriya. So first comes some faith, preliminary interest. Not pure faith, but some preliminary to bring you into the association of devotees. And what are they going to tell you to do? You know? Well, okay, why don't you chant some japa with us? You know? So you start chanting. So that's bhajana kriya. But that, there's an important step in the bhajana kriya process is to take shelter of the spiritual master. And then the anartha and the vritti can really happen fast. Otherwise, it's, you know, two steps forward, one step back, or one step forward, two steps back. You know, and, but to really make progress and go forward, you need to have that.
Thank you.
Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari Bol.